message was just what I needed.
Thank you.
I feel ashamed to get up here and try to preach after that. Everything he said about himself is true of me. Thank you. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 8? Jeremiah chapter 8. It's been a great blessing to be here with you all this weekend, and we truly do love you, and we love your pastor. That having been said, we're anxious to get back to warm weather. It's cold up here. When I was bound up in self-righteous, man-made religion, I thought that the rebukes of Scripture were referring to those irreligious heathens outside of the church, and took great comfort in being able to point my finger at them and say that, well, at least I'm not like that. Came to understand some doctrinal truths and thought that the rebukes of Scripture were against the religious who had perverted the gospel and had robbed Christ of his glory. And so I found myself taking some comfort in pointing my finger at the religious and thinking, well, at least I'm not like that. One day, God sent a prophet to point his finger into my heart and to say to me, "Thou art the man." It was a very miraculous event. I wasn't looking for it. Didn't think it was true. But the Lord spoke to me through the gospel of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, and caused me to know for the first time in my life that the only place to find comfort is in Christ, and to be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah speaks often of backsliding. Here in chapter 8, in verse 4, he says, "Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Shall they fall and not arise? Shall they turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding?" The title of my message this morning is Hope for Perpetual Backsliders. Now, I can remember in religion we would schedule meetings much like this. Well, not like this really in any way, but people would come, large numbers of people. We would schedule revivals every so often in order to try to recover the backsliders, believing that once saved, always saved. Those who had fallen away and shown no interest whatsoever in the church anymore needed to be brought back into the church. And so we would have a charismatic evangelist come and conduct a meeting, and the backsliders would rededicate their lives. I know now that all we were doing is putting a new coat of whitewash on dead men's tombs. Truth is, I stand here before you this morning to confess to you that I am a perpetual backslider. A perpetual backslider. I read some commentaries on this passage of Scripture, and one man said, "Backsliding means that if you've ever been nearer to the Lord than you are right now, you are backslidden." Well, there's a problem with that. And that is that you set yourself up as the standard to compare yourself to. Paul said, I judge not myself by myself. In order for that to be the definition of backsliding, one would have to remain in a perpetual state of spiritual bliss. Sort of like getting up every morning and weighing yourself to see if you weigh a little more than you did before until one day you explode. Truth is, backsliding is what every child of God does. This meeting began Friday night with a message by Donnie Bell on why is it that God allows sin to remain in the lives of His children. And he spoke from Romans chapter 7, which is one of my favorite passages of Scripture, for I can relate so well to it. Paul said, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And I don't know if Donnie went to the passage in Genesis chapter 6 or someone else did this weekend. But the child of God knows that every imagination of their heart truly is evil, and that continually. This problem that we have with sin is a continual problem. Jeremiah speaks of backsliding on several occasions, 17 times, I think, in his book. He makes reference to it. Turn with me back to chapter 3 of Jeremiah. Hosea also makes reference to backsliding. He says, my people backslide continually. In Jeremiah chapter 3, the Lord said in verse 6 to me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backslidden Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. In verse 8, he speaks of her having committed adultery. And in verse 11, he speaks of Israel. Now, he's not talking about Moab. He's not talking about the Philistines. He's talking about Israel, God's people. And he says that they justify themselves. Truth is, the life of faith is fraught with backsliding. You cannot climb the steep, slippery slopes of Mount Zion without losing your footing. Can't sail the sea of salvation without the currents of this world and this flesh and our enemy diverting our course. You can't fight the good fight without taking many painful blows from the opponent. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, God says, for a just man falleth seven times. Seven times he falls. And he riseth again. He riseth again. Seven times the number of completion or perfection. What God's saying is that a just man is constantly falling. He's always backsliding. He's a perpetual backslider, always in need of being picked up and restored and returning. It is a terrible error of blindness and self-righteousness to deny the reality of backsliding. We're all guilty. Well, I say we're all guilty. You can't slide back from somewhere you've never been. So backsliding is only something believers do. Turn over with me a couple of pages to Jeremiah chapter 2. We have a definition of what it means to backslide. Verse 13. For my people. My people. Not the world. Not the perverted religious folk, but my people, the church, have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Rather than drinking from the well of living water, we try to quench our thirst with the stagnant, polluted water of old cisterns, or worse yet, try to find water in a broken cistern, one that has no water. Or we flee to Sinai rather than to Calvary. These are all symptoms of being backslidden. This is what we do. We forsake Christ and we try to find our comfort. We seek contentment in worldly possessions rather than heavenly ones. We set our affections on things below rather than things above, and we're constantly taking our eyes off of Christ. Perpetual backsliders. You're there in the book of Jeremiah. Will you turn with me to chapter 45? Here's a definition that the Lord gives of the believer's life. When he says in verse 4, thus saith, thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built I will break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even the whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee. For a prey. Notice the word is P-R-E-Y, not P-R-A-Y. In all places whither thou goest. The life that God gives to his people, and he must give it. We'll never receive anything unless it be given to us from above. God's got to arrest us, knock us off our high horse, even as he did for Saul of Tarsus, and shine a light from heaven and reveal Christ to us in our hearts through the preaching of the gospel. We'll not have life if he doesn't. The Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, is our life. Life is not found in the abundance of things. Life is found in Christ. Eternal life. The forgiveness of sins. John chapter 17, our Lord himself said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have come that they might have life, true life. Not the kind of life that the world gives, but true spiritual life. And so here he says, thy life will I give unto thee. I must give it, and it'll be your life. This matter of spiritual life is something that God gives to each one of his children. And it's a great mistake for us to try to compare our life to someone else's life. It's a great mistake for us to get caught up in envy in the life of someone else. God gives to each one of his children spiritual life when he forgives them of their sins and makes them see themselves for what they are. Sinners. This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save perpetual backsliders. He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But he came to give life, eternal life. And he said, thy life will I give unto thee for a prey. For a prey. Now, one thing I know about animals that are on the prey side of the food chain is that they're always feeling vulnerable. They're always know instinctively that they're being threatened, that they're in danger, that there are predators out there that would destroy them. And so animals in the animal kingdom that are prey are always seeking a hiding place. They're always seeking a hiding place. The life that I give unto thee, I know it's fraught with backsliding. I know that everything you do is infected with your sin, and that you carry this body of death along with you, and that there is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, that you live in a world that's contrary to everything that you believe. I've made it to be that way. I've made your life to be a prey in order to force you to seek a hiding place, a place of safety, a place where the predators cannot destroy you. Yet by nature we find this tendency, this propensity, this part of our nature that would cause us to always be looking away from Christ. And then we think, well, I'll just be a better person. I'll rededicate myself. I'll not do that anymore. I'll commit myself to be better. And all we're doing is running to Sinai, running to the law, trying to apply some procedure or some law to our lives in order to try to fix a problem that only Christ can fix. Hymn writer wrote, indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew, but justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. In your backsliding, your perpetual backsliding, don't go to Sinai. But a celestial voice I heard, a bleeding Savior then appeared. Led by the Spirit of His grace, I found in Him a hiding place. Why has the Lord allowed sin to remain? Why is it that we are perpetual backsliders? Why is it that this life that He's given to us is a life of prey? To keep us coming back to Christ. Keep us coming back to Christ, who is our life. What else are we going to do? This is our experience. Is this your experience? It's my experience. I think it's your experience. I know it's your experience if you're a believer. To be found in Christ. Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 32, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Thou art my hiding place, David said in Psalm 111, and my shield I hope in thy word. In Psalm 32, he said, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And Paul put it like this, your life is hid in Christ with God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with Him in glory. It does not yet appear what we shall be. The only way that Moses was able to have any fellowship at all with God. Moses, you remember, and he asked, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord took him up on Sinai, but he wasn't able to show him his glory without cutting a cleft in a rock and hiding him in that place. He said, Moses, there's a hiding place here. There's a place near unto me where you can stand. And there, I'll cause my backside to pass by and I'll reveal my glory to you in terms of where I've been at least. The Lord gave to the children of Israel in the Old Testament cities of refuge in order to illustrate this glorious truth that we have to keep coming to Christ. Peter said, to whom coming? We're always coming, aren't we? Always coming. We are perpetual backsliders. Our life is a prey. We're in need of the Lord Jesus Christ to cover us with His grace and with His mercy and to present us faultless before the throne of God, to make us acceptable before God. We hear a lot about safe houses today. The Israelites had a safe house in the Old Testament, didn't they? When the death angel came through the land of Egypt, God instructed the children of Israel to take that lamb and to slay it and to take the blood of that lamb and sprinkle it on the doorpost and the lintels of their homes and get in the house. Get in that safe house, that hiding place. So when the death angel came through, they would be safe. God said, when I see the blood, not when I see your intentions, not when I see your new commitments, not when I see your rededications, not when I see your efforts, not when I see your guilt or your shame or your whatever. When I see the blood, I'll pass by you. It's the only place to hide. Hebrews chapter 13 says, we have an altar. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve in the tabernacle, a place of rest, a place where we are able to cease from our labors, a throne of grace that we're able to come to boldly to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a high priest who's touched with the infirmities of our feelings. Feelings of our infirmities. Is your life a life of perpetual backsliding? Is the life that God has given to you a prey? Noah had a place to hide. It was called the ark. And when the judgment of God came, the flood waters rose. The ark provided them a place of safety. Notice in verse 5 of Jeremiah 45, thy life, don't envy someone else's life. Don't compare your life to someone else's life. And I amen what Brother Joe said this morning. Don't exalt a preacher as closer to God than you. That's just priestcraft, that's all that is. That's clergy laity. Every child of God has the same access into the presence of God. Don't think for a moment these men that stand up here have some sort of extra advantage. They don't. Thy life. Seek it for yourself. Thy life will I give unto thee. I'll give it to you. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. A man can receive nothing unless it be given to him from heaven. For a prey. This life is a life fraught with trials and troubles and backslidings and enemies and predators that would seek to destroy it at every turn. I'll give it to you for a prey. You say, well, maybe I can just move out in the woods and get away from everything and everybody, and then I won't be so vulnerable. This spiritual life that I have, I'll move to Mayberry. That's what I'll do. I'll get out of the big city. You go into a closet, and you haven't solved that problem. Your problem's not your circumstances. Your problem's not your surroundings. Your problem's not other people. I like what one man said. He said, He said a man can fail many, many times in his life and not be a failure until he blames someone else. Isn't that true? Look at the last phrase in verse 5. In all places whither thou goest. Everywhere you go, your life is going to be a prey. Everywhere. It doesn't matter. You're not going to change that in this world. God has designed it to be so. That this life that He has given to us, this life that is fraught with backsliding, this life that is seems overwhelmed oftentimes. I had a dear man talk to me recently. He said, "Old pastor," he said, I just am afraid that I'm reprobate." Weeping over his sin and feeling as if maybe I don't know the Lord and maybe I never will. Whithersoever thou goest, you're going to be, that's going to be our, you're not going to hide from the predator. Not until you shed this flesh. Turn back with me to Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, "Return, thou backslidden Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity." Isn't that what John said? If we confess our sins, if we agree with Him about what we are, who we are, He is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. To put all that iniquity under the blood of Christ and to count us justified. So that he that does the justified and they that are justified are all as one. To have our sins put away. The life that I give unto you is a prey. Wherever you go, it's going to be a prey. For the rest of your life, it's going to be a prey. That's not going to change. It's not going to change. So I think I'll pray more and I'll get better and I won't have these problems anymore. You're going to Sinai when you do that. You're not going to Christ. He's made this life to be a prey in order to force us to find Christ to be our hiding place. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. You have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backslidden children, for I am married unto you. Here's the appeal that the Lord gives to His children. Turn. Oh, and later Jeremiah says, "Lord, you're going to have to turn me. If you turn me, then I'll be turned." God, what God commands, God must supply. And so when the Lord says, "Believe," oh Lord, what is the response to God's command for you to believe? Lord, enable me to believe. When He says, "Come," what is the response of faith to that command to come? Lord, enable me to come. When He says, "Return," or "Turn," Lord, enable me to do that. For I am married unto you. I will take you. One of a city, two of a family, and I'll bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to my heart. Listen to what Hosea says. If you'd like to turn with me there, there's two verses in Hosea I want you to see. Hosea chapter 4. See, I don't know if I can come to Christ with faith. Well, then come to Him for faith. But come to Christ. Come to Christ. Just like you are. Backslidden. Your life is a prey. Under attack. Come just like you are. Come to Him for faith if you can't come to Him with faith and in faith. Look at Hosea chapter 4 at verse 16. Here's our encouragement for coming. For Israel slideth back as a backslidden heifer. And you would think the next phrase would be, therefore I'm going to punish her. It's not. Look what he says. Israel has backslidden as a backslidden heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. That's exactly what Jeremiah said, isn't it? Return and I'll give you pastors to feed you from my word. Look at Hosea chapter 14. Verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. There's our hope. Our hope is to know that all the backsliding, all the sin, all the temptations, all the everything was put upon the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And God is satisfied with the sacrifice that Christ has made for the sins of His people. That's our hope in coming. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Freely. I agree so much, Brother Joe, with what you said about man-made religion. Every form of man-made free will works religion is based upon an attempt to coerce, manipulate, persuade, or force God to do something to bless man. If I jump through the right hoops, if I show a depth of sincerity, if I pray right, or perform the right duty, or participate in the right ceremony, I can force the hand of God. I can get God to see my commitment, and He'll reward me for it. That's what religion's all about. The Lord said, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Freely. That's what grace is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's free. You can't pay for it. Don't bring anything. Yes, we're backsliders, perpetual backsliders. Yes, our life is a prey. Yes, we're on the run from predators that often... Well, they often overtake us, don't they? The Lord said, I will forgive them freely. I'll feed them. Truth is, we can do nothing to bring ourselves back to God. Every blessing of His presence is all of His grace. Faith comes by hearing. And I hope this morning is that the Lord will take His word as He's done this weekend and cause us to come. If He does, it'll be all of grace. It'll be all of grace. Every time we are able to believe one of God's precious promises, it's all of grace. Every time we're able to taste the sweetness of His word, it's all of grace. It's God working in us. Every renewed interest that He gives us in the gospel, it's all of grace. Every understanding of truth that we have is all of grace. Every drop of His mercy that we experience is all of grace. Every softening of the heart, any desire that He gives us for His glory is all of grace. Every smile from heaven, every encouragement to to the soul every conviction of sin. It's all of grace. I will love them freely, and I will heal their backsliding. All the promises of God in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, are yea, and in Him they are amen unto the glory of God. Christ gets all the glory in the gospel, for He heals backsliders freely by His grace. Truth is, the only hope that we have as backsliders is Christ. And He is all. And He's in all. He's everything in everything. He's the cause of creation. He's the glory of creation. He's the power behind all providence. He works all things together for our good and for His glory, to them that love God and those that are the called according to His purpose. In salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ is everything. He's done it all. He satisfied all the demands of God's law. He presented Himself as a perfect righteousness before the Father on behalf of His people. And He satisfied the demands of God's justice through the shedding of His precious blood on Calvary's cross, putting away the sins of all of God's people once and for all. Christ is all in salvation. Jonah was in a mess, wasn't he? He was in the belly of a fish, the bottom of the sea, the weeds wrapped around his neck, crying out to God. What did he say? Salvation is of the Lord. And as soon as he made that confession, he was delivered. Do you believe salvation's of God? I mean, all of it. All of it. That God Almighty sovereignly, according to His own purpose and will, chose a particular people, not based on anything He saw in them, but based completely upon His own sovereign power and purpose and will, He chose a particular people before the world began. Had He not chosen us, no one would be saved. That the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and, as I've already said, satisfied divine justice and righteousness on behalf of those that God had chose. Offered Himself up before the Father for them. That God now has sent His Spirit to make His people willing in the day of His power, to open the eyes of their understanding and give them faith to believe through the preaching of the gospel, cause them to see themselves for what they are, cause them to see Christ for who He is, and to say with Isaiah, woe is me, I am undone. That's the work of God's Spirit. To keep us and present us faultless before His throne, with great joy, oh, even in our backsliding ways, even in all the times that the predators overtake the prey, wherever we go, He heals and forgives and preserves and keeps. He won't lose one. Not a single one of God's sheep is going to be lost. When it comes to the law of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is all. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Him. In prophecy, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Spirit of prophecy. To Him gave the prophets witness. Everything in this book, the volume of the book, is written of Him. The only hope we have to be delivered from our backsliding ways and to have this life preserved from the predators is in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I said at the beginning, there's no way that one can come back from someplace they've never been. Only believers can be backsliders. So what do we have to say for those who have never come to Christ for the first time? Same message. Come just like you are. We don't preach one message to the unbeliever and another message to the believer. If you've come into Christ for the millionth time, or this is the very first time you come to Christ, you come the same way. Paul put it like this to Timothy. He said, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Him? You received Him as a dead dog sinner, unable to save yourself, and you came to Him for life. And that's how we keep coming, isn't it? It's the same message. Believers believe it's the same gospel. It's the good news. If you've never come to Christ, come right now in your heart, just like you are. And know that the life that He gives you will be a prey. Oh, it'll set you at odds with everything in this world. And you'll begin to experience sin like you never knew it before. I'm so thankful what Donnie said Friday night. I didn't know I was a sinner till I was saved. You're gonna struggle with backsliding ways as a believer that you never struggled with before. There's hope for perpetual backsliders. And there's hope for those who are yet estranged from the grace of God. And the hope is the same. The hope is the same. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Christ is my life. He's my salvation. He's my righteousness before God. He's my deliverer. He's the one that'll keep me.